Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. Back on the spring preview series, we're doing the Georgia Bulldogs today. Ben Walk joins us from Dogs 24/7. And Ben, this is a team that's, you know, back-to-back SEC championships. They get the bye in the playoffs. They've lost two straight in the Sugar Bowl, Notre Dame and then Ole Miss last year. Is it possible to say that this team is, I don't know, overrated, underrated is, are the right terms here, but they're a great team, but they're lacking something. What are they lacking that gets them over the edge and back into the national championship?
I mean, I think it depends how you look at it, right? Like, if you just look at the end result of each of the last two Sugar Bowls, then yeah, you'll say this team's a disappointment. Maybe the overrated word comes in there. I do think it's tricky when you look back at the last 2 years. I mean, you look back at the Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame 2 years ago. They're playing a backup quarterback that's never started a game before, Gunnar Stockton's first start. It's, you know, not to make excuses for Georgia, but it's and obviously Notre Dame had to deal with this as well. But it's a weird circumstance where the game gets delayed 24 hours because of what had happened on Bourbon Street the night before. And so it's just a weird circumstance. Like, Kirby Smart's dad had complications during surgery. Like, there was a lot going on in that game where I think when you're looking at the Georgia world, you say, all right, that game is a bit of an outlier when you look at the last 4 or 5 years of the Kirby Smart era. I mean, it was the only game in the last 5 years that Georgia has lost where the opposing quarterback didn't throw for at least 300 yards. Like, it was just a weird type of game. Then you go and you look at the Sugar Bowl against Ole Miss. And again, not to make excuses by any means, but it was a team that Georgia had already played earlier in the year and had found a lot of success against Georgia earlier in the year as well. So at that point in the season, one of the only teams that we can say definitively stands a chance going up against Georgia in that game. Trinidad Chambliss plays out of his mind, throws for 370 yards. He was just sensational. So you can look at those games and say those were individual examples of how an Ole Miss or a Notre Dame found a way against a Georgia team that just doesn't lose very often. I mean, you look back to the 2020 season, Georgia's only lost to three programs in all of college football in that stretch: Alabama, Ole Miss, and Notre Dame. So if you're not one of those programs, there's not some proven we can line up and beat this team. So I think that Georgia still has a lot of confidence there. That said, we know that this Georgia team is not going to have rosters as dominant as 2021 and 2022 were. It's just impossible to construct a roster that way nowadays. And so I think that Georgia does everything the right way. I think that they have a solid roster in place. I think it's just a matter of when you get to the playoff, it is tough to win three or four games. And Georgia needs to find a way to win at least one because they haven't won either of the last three seasons. But I don't think that there's anything differently that Georgia needs to do. I mean, I think that Georgia's doing what they need to do to find ways to win in the playoff. They just didn't do it each of the last 2 years.
So you mentioned Stockton, and I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle, especially, you know, you said who's the best quarterback in the SEC this year. You're going to get Arch Manning. You're going to get Trinidad Chambliss. And I don't think a lot of people would say Stockton, but all this guy has done is produce and win a lot of football games. Is there a next level for him? Can he put himself into that top tier of SEC quarterbacks and national quarterbacks for that reason?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question, and I think he needs to for Georgia to get to where it wants to be in terms of in-year results. I mean, I look at this Georgia roster, and I think that there's a defensive front that is going to be a step above to where it's been. You look at some of these skill players, I think there is more dynamic explosiveness to some of these young receivers than Georgia has had over the last few years, save for maybe Zachariah Branch. And so I really think the key for Georgia to get from being a quarterfinal team each of the last 2 years to being a semifinal team or a national championship competing team – Gunnar Stockton needs to take that next step. And to your point, he does a lot of things right. He's productive. They win. He's as tough of a quarterback as you're going to find across all of college football. Probably the toughest quarterback that Georgia's football program has ever had. And so those things are all great, right? Like those are all positives that you can point to and say, this is what makes Gunnar Stockton special or different. I say this all the time. That's all fine and dandy. And then you still on 3rd and 9, your first two progressions, your first two reads in the progression don't go the way that you want to. You still got to get to that third progression and find a way to pick up that first down. It doesn't matter how much everyone loves you. It doesn't matter how tough you are. None of that matters. It matters, do you have the ability to get to your third and fourth reads in progressions in some of these really difficult SEC games to pick up first downs when you need it? And that's where I think Gunnar Stockton needs to take a next step, and I'll say a year two next step, even though this is his year four in the program, and technically he was playing 3 seasons ago for the end of the SEC championship game and then that Sugar Bowl. But I say for year two, that step that Gunnar Stockton needs to take is getting more comfortable, staying in the pocket on design pass plays and going through his progression, not bailing out, not taking the easy check down. Like he needs to find a way to be that next level of quarterback. And I think he has the ability to do it. We just haven't seen a whole lot of that yet, truth be told. And so I think this Georgia football team is going to be successful because Gunnar Stockton's the type of quarterback that's not going to lose you games. So this Georgia football team is going to win a lot of games. They're going to be competitive for the SEC championship for the 3rd year in a row. They are going to be a playoff caliber team that doesn't automatically position you to be in the playoff, but they're going to be a playoff caliber team. But for them to get to competing for winning the national championship this season, I think that it lies a lot on Gunnar Stockton just being a little bit more sophisticated in the passing game than he was last season for Georgia to be able to get there.
Who's he throwing the ball to? Because this Georgia team is replacing a lot of production at the wide receiver position.
Well, I'll start with you can always count on Georgia tight ends, and whether it be Lawson Lucky, whether it be Elias Williams, whether it be Ethan Barbour, Jaden Riddell, some of the young guys that have generated some buzz throughout the spring, like Caden Prothro, like Lincoln Keys, you can always count on Todd Hartley's group to provide you a little bit of a lifeline as a quarterback at the University of Georgia, because the tight ends are never a position group that you have to worry about whether or not that they're going to be able to be productive. Like you mentioned, though, you're losing Colby Young, you're losing Noah Thomas, you're losing Oscar Delp, you're losing Zachariah Branch, you're losing a lot of these players that have been the focal points of Georgia's perimeter pass game over the last 2 seasons. And you're going to see a lot of new faces. Georgia only went into the transfer portal to get one guy at the wide receiver position. That was Isaiah Kanyon from Georgia Tech. That is a big body, 6'4", 220-pound type that effectively will replace what you had in Colby Young and Noah Thomas, those bigger-framed wide receivers that Georgia likes to play at the X position. But when you look back at Georgia's 2025 recruiting class, you've got CJ Wiley, that's that bigger X body from the state of Georgia. You've got Talon Taylor, that was a 5-star wide receiver from the Midwest. You've got some guys that aren't mentioned as much, Thomas Blackshear, Tyler Williams. Like that 2025 recruiting class for Georgia is going to tell all in terms of how productive this wide receiver group can be. I think that Talon Taylor and CJ Wiley in particular are going to be asked to do a lot alongside Isaiah Kanyon. And then a guy that's just hung around. He transferred a few years ago, but 2 years ago in the Tennessee game, he makes a big play. Last season in the Tennessee game, he makes a big play. And that's wide receiver London Humphreys, previously from Vanderbilt. He's had big moments each of the last 2 years. And sometimes I think older guys get lost a little bit in the shuffle when you're talking about who can be productive. And I think that that's London Humphreys. I think he's going to play the Z wide receiver position for Georgia, and he's going to come up in a big way. Really, the big question is probably how do you replace Zachariah Branch? Because he was Georgia's all-time leading single-season receptions total last season. You're not going to just replace Zachariah Branch, but I think that Zakovy White-Helton is a guy that will be similar to, and he's got to step up in that slot position. If he steps up in the slot position, I think that Georgia will be just fine in terms of how dynamic their receiver options are going to be this season.
Georgia brings back a lot on defense. What questions do you have about the Bulldogs on that side of the ball?
My number one question is probably how do you replace CJ Allen? He was such a leader. He was the signal caller. He was the green dot mic that they use at linebacker to be the one communicating with the Georgia coaching staff pre-snap. They're talented at linebacker. They've got Chris Cole. They've got Justin Williams. They've got Raylan Wilson. Every single one of those guys was a five star as they were coming through their recruiting process. So they are not short on talent at inside linebacker. I think the bigger question is how the leadership that you got from CJ Allen. You knew that not only CJ Allen was going to be exactly where he needed to be, but everybody on the front end and back end of the defense was going to be exactly where they needed to be. So who is that steps up there? Is that Raylan Wilson that becomes more of that guy, even though he's been part of the rotation for a long, long time? Is that a Chris Cole or a Justin Williams? They have those personality types, I think, but they've never really been asked to do it the way that CJ Allen has been asked to do it. So if we're talking about what questions I have, it is where do you find that defensive leader at linebacker? Because we know that's so important for these Kirby Smart defenses with Glenn Schumann. That's why they have so many Butkus Award winners through the years, because they get so much reliability from that position group. I think they've got the talent there. Where does the leadership come in? And I think that that's still some question that's being answered.
So you mentioned Canyon, but Georgia is notorious for kind of not using the transfer portal. You don't really need to when you recruit high school the way that they do. So maybe you want to just give me a new starter, but who's a new face that you're keeping an eye on this spring?
Well, I think when you there's last site last year, they brought in three transfer portal safeties. And I don't want to say that they went over three because Zion Branch is still there and he made some plays in the Sugar Bowl and he's been around. But if we're being real about it, he was very much a take because of his brother being Zachariah Branch, and they needed that. And so you could make the case that Georgia went over three in the safety transfer portal last year. And so this cycle, they came back around and they've still felt that they needed to get a reliable veteran that could play star. They needed a reliable veteran that they felt could be that deep safety alongside KJ Bolden. And they brought in two guys. They brought in Khalil Barnes out of Clemson, who has received rave reviews early in spring so far. I think he's someone that's cross-trained both at safety, but also at star. And I think that there's a really good chance that he's Georgia's starting star come week one. Now, that hasn't been determined yet because there's a lot of moving pieces, guys playing both positions, safety and star, to figure out who fits in best where. But Khalil Barnes at star, I think, is a key piece. And then someone who has been dealing with an injury recovery coming from East Carolina, Jamarlee Riddle, he was brought in, I believe, to be Georgia's starting safety alongside KJ Bolden. It becomes interesting when he hasn't really been able to do a whole lot physically so far this spring, but I think they're trying to get him acclimated to the Georgia way and what it's like to make play calls from the back end and those types of things. Like, they're trying to get him as much comfortability with the Georgia experience as they can this spring, but he just hasn't been able to do a whole lot because of that injury recovery. And so those two guys, I think it is mission critical for Georgia for Khalil Barnes to be the starting safety or the starting star, and for Jamarlee Riddle to get back healthy and be the starting safety alongside KJ Bolden. If both of those things play out, I think Georgia will feel really good about its transfer portal haul, as well as what they are providing on the back end of the defense this season.
All right, last question is the same for everybody who's doing these previews. November 28th, Georgia Tech comes to Sanford Stadium. Technically, the third straight home game in this series for the Georgia Bulldogs after Georgia Tech stupidly moved that game to the to Atlanta last year. I'm sorry, to the Mercedes-Benz Dome. What am I saying about Georgia after that game? Are we talking about back in the playoffs, a favorite to win a national championship, or what?
Oof, Brian, that is a good question. I mean, Georgia has the team this year to be playing for a third, well, be playing for a fourth straight SEC championship, but I think a realistic chance to, well, I guess it'd be playing for a sixth straight SEC championship, but it would be a chance to win three of the last four. Like, I really am bullish on what this defensive front is going to be this season. Pass rush was a big area of concern for Georgia last season. I think that they are going to rectify that year over year. I don't have many concerns about what Georgia is going to be able to do productivity-wise on offense. I mean, I think Georgia offenses, by and large, are what Georgia offenses are. They're going to run the ball as well as anyone. Gunnar Stockton's not going to make mistakes. So I think they will be in position to be playing in Atlanta and playing for another playoff. What's interesting to me is, like I mentioned earlier in this interview, like they've lost to three programs in all of college football over the last five, six seasons: Notre Dame, Ole Miss, and Alabama. Well, they've got to go on the road and play at Ole Miss and at Alabama this season. And I know there might be questions about what Kalen DeBoer Alabama is going to look like this season. There might be questions about what does Pete Golding Ole Miss look like this season. But those are still two of the only programs in college football that have been able to line up toe to toe with Georgia and win football games, and multiple football games, I should say. I mean, Ole Miss has won two of the last 3 years. Alabama has won each of the last 3 years against Georgia. And so you're not guaranteed, just because you've got a good roster and you do have back-to-back SEC championships, you're not guaranteed to just go on the road and beat Ole Miss. You're not guaranteed to just go on the road and beat Alabama. So I do think Georgia will be back in Atlanta. I think that they'll find a way to win one of those games on the road and then clean the slate the rest of the way. But if we're looking up and Georgia's a 10-win team that missed out on Atlanta, that would not surprise me in the slightest, though I do think a 10-2 Georgia probably gets into the playoff either way.
Would absolutely still be in the playoff. Not on the Mississippi State schedule. I was kind of getting used to playing Georgia every season, but not this year. Ben Walk, Dogs 24/7, man. Really appreciate your time. Great stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.